Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, my name is Gary Mansfield, and this is the Ministry of Arts podcast, where each week I'll be speaking to a different artist. Now let's begin by banging these bongos. Hello, here we are at episode 181. Well, last week's episode with Gavin Turk went down an absolute storm. But I suppose Gavin Turk, right? But equally, this week we've got something rather special. Well, today's episode is another one that was a real lot of fun to record. And it's an artist I showed with round about this time last year. It's Charlotte Colbert. Now, if you know Charlotte, you'll be aware that she's great fun and really bubbly to be around. And this episode is no different. I knew Charlotte was a sculptor and a filmmaker, but I was unaware until I was speaking with Charlotte in this episode that she'd crossed over into the world of feature film. Well, I'm pretty slow off the mark because I wasn't aware this wasn't her first. She's made several. And her latest is out this month and it's called She Will. Apart from this movie, we touch on several of her previous works, including the one I mentioned earlier, which we were in together. But more importantly, we speak about her most recent artwork, which is part of the Kensington and Chelsea Art Trail. It's an artwork that I won't talk about, because Charlotte does a much better job than I ever could. Now, the recording of this episode is quite extraordinary. It was recorded over Zoom while Charlotte was on holiday in Greece. And all was going dandy until Charlotte had a power cut her end. She literally just vanished off the screen. Well, Charlotte phoned me up to tell me what was going on. And with a little bit of ingenuity and quite a leap of faith, I ran and grabbed one of my children's Bluetooth speakers, connected it to my phone, and carried on the Zoom call, but with Charlotte on loudspeaker, only being about 60% convinced it was going to work. But it did. Superb. Wouldn't get this on talk art, would you? But anyway, please come and join me as I spoke over Zoom and on loudspeaker to Miss Charlotte Colbert.
Where are you having me at the moment?
I'm actually in Athens.
Oh, wow, nice.
Yeah, which is amazing.
How hot is it there? It's hot enough here at home.
It's really hot and it's very busy. There's lots happening. You know, the Greeks, they know how to live. Like, they sit in the coffee shop plaza, and you have, you know, everything is like very, you know, at a just much more better pace, basically. It's so good. It's amazing. It's really, Have you been?
I haven't been.
Oh my God.
I'm not very well traveled at all, really.
I don't know it very well, so it's really interesting to be here.
So there's a question that I ask each artist. How would you explain what you do to someone that doesn't know your work?
I try to tell stories in different formats, some film and some ceramic. some using photography. So it's basically creating worlds and narratives, and they sort of seep out in different ways and sort of pop into existence in ways that are sort of random and slightly uncontrollable.
And I know that you work in, you might work in ceramics, film, various different mediums. Do you come up with the idea and put that in whatever medium works for the idea best? Or do you work in film at one stage and your mind is totally on film and vice versa?
Yeah, it's really weird. It's like they all sort of feed into each other. So actually in the film, I've just done this film that's coming out in July, hooray, on the 20th in cinema. You can be, so that's exciting. And basically, yeah, it's weird, there's loads of...
Sorry, did you say in the cinema?
Yeah, it's coming out. Feels like a, you know, it's like that crazy post-COVID madness push, like, you know, just amazing that like people are coming back to a shared experience of like being together. And
can I ask its name?
So grateful. Yeah, it's called She Will. It's got all sorts of funny characters like Alice Bridge and Kota Eberhardt and Malcolm McDowell.
Wow.
And Rupert Everett. And it's, yeah, so it's like a horror, but it's got all the themes that are also that I work through in my practice, like the power of the cellular and the power of memory. I think that you're really interested in as well. I've seen in your practice and stuff, the idea of the past and how we carry that through and how we reinvent that and how we reclaim past traumas and past histories and the wounds of the body and how they can become our strength, and the wounds of the mind and how we can reappropriate those, and the wounds of our ancestors and how we can reimagine them and push them into a different narrative. And so I guess, like, funny enough, like it sort of comes out in these different formats, but the themes and the sort of world and the sort of questions, I guess, they're at the heart of things for me, basically, are explored in these different ways. But it's funny because now thinking about your first question, I feel like the truth is probably what I'm trying to do is probably figure out shit that I'm sort of struggling with.
And that's what we're all doing. That's how we all go through life, Charlotte, isn't it? And none of us find out the answer, do we?
Do you think? Oh, no, don't tell me that. Don't tell me that. Maybe you resolve like one battle at a time and then you kind of like get through that and then you get another one and then you tackle that one in whatever way you can. But you know, it's so interesting. Obviously you're doing that in so many different ways as well, like through exploring other stories and your own and your work, and it's so interesting.
Well, I got to know one of your artworks rather well. Would you pronounce it Mammaria?
Oh yeah.
So I knew that rather well. It was shown at the Fulham Town Hall as part of in the Age of Now, and I was in that show as well downstairs. And
oh my god.
Yeah, as you're well aware, but I'm just describing it for the listener, your sculpture, which was maybe 10 feet tall, possibly, was in the middle of a big grand hall.
Yeah, and the room is amazing.
Wasn't it?
It's like this abandoned, this whole building is like insane. It's an abandoned town hall in Fulham, and it's all sort of like this faded grandeur of like, it feels very like a time warp. Time worm space, you know,
dystopian.
Isn't it amazing? Dystopian kind of incredibleness of like this sort of, as you say, these big grand spaces, but you know, that time has shown no mercy to and feel like hit.
Well, your artwork was very ghost-like when you can't, because yours was there, possibly one of the first even to be installed. And when you walk up this grand but very derelict stairway and you come around into the main hall, you're met with your sculpture that was just very ghostly and cold and calm, and it was very lonely at some points, you know.
Yeah, and basically the piece itself is sort of has got a plaster finish, and it's a sort of, how would you describe it, a sort of vegetable formation of breasts that are healthy breasts and also unhealthy breasts and post-op and sort of in various states of droopiness.
Like life itself. And,
exactly. Various states of droopiness. title of my autobiography. basically, and yeah, it was interesting how it sat. You're right. And then the fact that it was given quite a bit of space, I really liked, because it then could cast a sort of long shadow. And because it's sort of white with this sort of shadow behind it, as you say, it is interesting. I hadn't really thought of it as ghostly, but I think because the whole place, it's true, has that sort of ghostly thing, it maybe felt like some kind of creature that sort of, I don't know, clawed its way up there in a random way.
I'll tell you what it reminded me of, and I never know which way round it is, the stalagmites and the stalactites.
Oh, that's
when they're dripping down, and sometimes you have one growing up, and it looked like that in this derelict building, you know, because it was quite, I mean, I'm holding my hands up in the air to you, can see. Yeah, it was very, it went to a point, didn't it? Like a squirt of cream, if you like, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Like a sort of stem or whatever. I really like the idea of stalactites. That's super cool.
Maybe you should do another one from the ceiling coming
from
down.
From the ceiling, that'd be amazing. They can sort of meet each other. Yeah. God, that's super cool. I really want to go. It's like, that's the one thing I'd really, really love to do is go, I don't know, to those old caves, you know, where there's the first drawings of these incredible handprints that you feel, oh my God, I want to just imagine feeling that space of that hand that's been there. Like, I just find it so incredible.
They've just discovered some, haven't they, that the handprints you're on about, they think are around 20,000 years old. They found some a little while ago that they think are 60,000 years old.
Where was that? That's amazing.
I can't remember. I think it was South America. You've got the handprint, but I preferred his later work with the animals. Through his animal period.
That's so funny. They actually think that it was probably women and children painting.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, of course.
Which is so crazy because they were like sort of making
gathering and whatnot.
Yeah, isn't that kind of cool? And also because the size of the features and stuff, and like, I don't know, it's so sweet. It's amazing. We haven't changed much, have we? I mean, it's
so
interesting how...
While the man was out hunting and gathering, the woman was indoors decorating.
Exactly.
Brilliant.
It's so good.
Did you have art and creativity in the home growing up, Charlotte?
It wasn't really like part of the thing. My mum was a journalist, so not really like so in the art thing. It came more like later on, started with like photography and then started building more and more complicated sets for the photography, and then like basically sort of evolved into filmmaking, and then sort of this stuff that escapes the film, I guess, and exists in the world. Brilliant. In its own strange way.
A couple of other pieces of yours which are quite stand out to me, relating to Lucian Freud.
Yeah.
Being the benefits supervisor sleeping. Spot on. Superb.
You're so sweet. She's so amazing. It was so interesting, the whole process. And it's like 200 kilos the piece, and it's quartz metal with screen, and it's sort of a restaging of Sue in Lucian Freud's studio, original studio. So it was amazing because her body sort of really remembered like the position of it. And there was something kind of interesting we felt in reversing that gaze and having her look at the audience, and in a way look at the viewer, and in a way subvert the notion of the muse, I guess, on which her fame has been sort of built.
And could you just describe for the listener how you created the portrait, very similar to Lucian Freud's?
So basically, Lucian Freud did this amazing painting of Sue Tilly called Benefit Supervisor Sleeping, Resting. He did a few different ones, and he set her in his studio and painted this sort of incredible oil paint of her in the nude, sort of lying on this couch with her eyes closed. And so we restaged it, remade the couch and the original, so it's in the studio, so it was the original floorboard and the original paint that would have been there and stuff. So it was super, yeah, definitely. When we came, we were like, oh my God, it's so incredible. And on all the walls, there was still, you know, the layers of paint, you know, sort of stuck on and stuff. And yeah, and we there wasn't the couch any longer, so we sort of recreated that and then set suit on it, and then filmed her and broke up her body into parts, and then they're sort of contained in these rusty metal frames, and it's very slow sort of breathing with her and kind of being in that moment with her. I think there's something super interesting about that whole Freud thing, because it's interesting that, you know, he's related obviously to Sigmund Freud, the therapist, who's working obviously with couches and that kind of like relationship and the therapy. And then, you know, then Lucian also is working with the couch, and the couch has such like an importance. But, you know, it's a bit like when you go to the hairdresser or something, there's something like between you and the hairdresser, there's a mirror.
Yeah, definitely.
So you find yourself telling your life story to someone and being very open. And there's that same thing with the posing, where like the canvas is like in the way of the sitter and the painter, and so in a way there's that kind of distance that allows you to share this moment, which is a bit like out of time, you know.
It's a weird experience, so, isn't it? I've sat myself a couple of times for artists, and it is a strange false environment to be sat in. Have you sat yourself?
Actually just once recently for Francesco Clemente, which is really
nice.
He's very metaphysical, you know, he feels like some kind of magician, the way he dresses and his sort of atmosphere, and there's like a sort of gong, and it's very ritualistic.
Brilliant.
What was your experience like? What was your
they've all been with friends and artists that I know anyway.
That's so nice.
But what I did find with one artist, he was concentrating on my eyes, and he asked me to look straight at him. And when you're staring at someone for several minutes, it becomes quite intimidating. You look in people's eyes in conversation, and your eye darts from left to right, up and down, whatever. But when you're actually staring into someone's eyes, it is a strange feeling. I had to keep looking away. And he was saying, just keep looking at me. But I could do it for about maybe 40 seconds. And then I would feel self-conscious and I have to look away.
It was like, what did you feel like? It was like an invasion of like a privacy, or like
all
it was revealing too much.
It's strange, isn't it?
It's so crazy. The eyes are like, it's just mad, isn't it? There's something so fascinating about it. I think that's why also you've got the same thing with films. You know, I feel there's something kind of interesting because you never really experience people around you in close up, you know. Mm. But normally, unless they're really loved ones, you know, that you then see inside their nose or whatever, like while they're sleeping, or like you peer at their mouth or whatever. But suddenly with when you're in a cinema, suddenly you see like people so massive and so close to you. And maybe, I don't know, I always think maybe that's why we have so much empathy for actors and stuff and love. And because it functions nearly like the visuals of it is nearly like a love story in terms of breaking those boundaries of closeness, like you had, you know. It's so funny because I got a mini version of it with you staring at the camera.
God.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So which piece that you've created has got the strongest emotional connection, do you think?
Because you sort of like get, for me, like I feel like each piece like somehow comes from like some kind of obsession or problem at the time. And so at the time, it's definitely like the most important, you know, thing. But then somehow I hopefully, not always, but manage to resolve little bits of stuff and try, quote unquote, to move on. Like, but so yeah, but it's interesting how, yeah, how stuff grows. But I guess the film in some ways has, you know, just by force of how much time and everything it takes and how all consuming it sort of is, definitely has been like, you know, a sort of tale of blood and tears.
I know that feeling.
So in some ways, like through content and form and the sheer sort of like push of it, I guess, got, and all the connections as well you make on the way of all the different people, and you know, that's the thing, isn't it, like you put something and then these little connections, like this incredibly deep feelings that happen, yeah, with like everyone.
It's
around,
it's like a little journey, isn't it, to create the artwork, and you, yeah, sort of pick people and ideas up along the way, don't you, you know?
Yeah, it's so, it's crazy, isn't it? And even like dreams, like I don't know, I feel like, you know, maybe we've met in a dream, or like I don't know, there's like this kind of thing, I don't know why, I just feel that. Well, I guess it's what we're saying about this sort of cellular histories and stuff, you know, and that kind of thing that you carry from generations, yeah, from that woman decorating her cave.
You never know. You never. There's got to be something in there coming down that ancestral line. There's a fun question I ask every artist, and that is, if there was you and five other artists, past and present, what would your ideal group show be?
Oh, wow. But the thing is, like, my ideal group show, would I have to be in it? Or no? Like, that feels, yes, like, you, oh, my God.
You and a couple of others. Oh, past or present.
Oh, my God. I would love to meet Leonora Carrington, Dorothy, oh, yeah, Tanning, Marina Lasnig. Probably this crazy character who I think actually gave the urinal to Dusha, and he stole her idea, called Baroness Dada. And she, okay, was like this, she basically was this amazing character who is this sort of out of money baroness who moved to New York in the 1920s, sort of lived on the street, but made herself into this crazy artwork and collected like ready-mades and was madly in love with Marcel Duchamp.
Wow, and basically, and she's,
yeah, yeah, I think you'll love her. And then there's you know, that there's like a film that Marcel Duchamp did where, oh no, Man Ray did, where he shaves a woman's pubic hair,
yeah,
and stuff,
yeah,
that was her. She's a model.
Oh, there you go.
So she's like really, yeah, I know, so now she's got a face, I know.
Excellent.
So it's so yeah, she's really amazing, sort of hidden woman of history, which I think she's super cool.
And there's so many of them as well, isn't there?
I know, so many. But and there's so many, you know, amazing people today. I'm just like, at the moment, I'm really sort of looking back at those incredible characters, and I'm reading like some stuff that Leonora Carrington wrote, and you know, she's so amazing. She had a bed in her studio and she's like tapping into her dreams and writing and doing all this kind of different stuff. I think you'd really like her.
Brilliant. Well, I'm going to definitely look into her, that's for sure. What do you think you'd like to do, Charlotte, if you wasn't an artist or filmmaker? Gardener.
God, no, we like so rubbish. I'd be like, oh my God, don't know who would take me.
Yeah, you'd have to be self-employed.
Oh my God, I'd be what would I be? Probably, I don't know, probably a bum. I don't know. Like, not sure.
Well, I like the answer. People who have had art in their life, all of their life, they never know how to answer this question. And I absolutely love it, because that means that you know, art is all you know and all you've needed to know. Perfect.
Yeah, exactly. I'd probably be like a librarian or something. I don't know.
Beautiful. You're in the Kensington Chelsea Art Trail this year. Could you tell us about the piece of work that you've got in that?
Yeah, it's like it's an amulet, and it's a sort of a ball with, like, I don't know how to describe it, with like tentacles jutting out of it. It's sort of based on a cell in our body, and the, you know, I sort of did it during the,
oh, I've lost you there, I've lost you, Charlotte. Can, I don't know if you can hear me. Hello, Oh, you're quite all right. It's not, you're not the first person for that to happen to. There's a... You're quite all right. Well, if you just bear with me a moment, I'll see if I can do something on a speaker and we may be able to finish it on the phone. I've never done this before. I'll just be a moment. Right, I'm not sure if this is going to work. I've gone and got a speaker. The only problem is you are going to miss out on my beautiful face. Oh, honestly, it doesn't bother me in the slightest. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. Just one sec, I'm sorry. Oh, right, I've got you. Right, now I've got you on speaker. I've never done this before.
Oh, by the way, sorry. I'm going to need a picture of the setup. This sounds amazing. I'm imagining, like, Pearl Monkey, you know, like, all the cables and everything.
Right, well, at the moment, I've got the speaker, the microphone I was just talking on for Zoom, and I've got you on a little red speaker about the size of a large can of beer next to the speaker. Right, so I'll keep it short now because I don't know when this is going to go again. But if I ask you that question again, Charlotte, and that was, could you explain to us about your work you've got in the Kensington and Chelsea Art Trail?
So the piece in the trail is called Amulet, and it was done during the lockdown, and the idea was to kind of create a piece that could evoke magic and coming together and healing, kind of in the way like the evil eye, you know, you sort of assign a meaning to it and it carries it through. And so it's sort of based on the shape of the cells inside of our body. And I don't know, I sort of hope that if we assign things to things like magic, it sort of it becomes real, because ultimately magic is just that, isn't it? The belief that something will have an impact in the real world in a different way. Yeah. Also, did you see, I was looking at pictures of like NASA and stuff, and it was kind of like how, you know, those cells are so similar. Actually, and then there's this guy who was writing about how the cells in our body and the stars, they look really similar, but they also look really similar to four-story car parks. Wow, that's so cool. It's like
brilliant. The artwork that I've seen, the cellular amulet, was only sort of like 25 centimetres. How big is the one on show at the moment?
So the one on show is a cast, and it's in aluminium, and it's about 180 centimetres. So,
oh, okay.
Sort of taller than me.
Yeah.
And but the I'm revealing really short.
It's not your fault you're a short ass.
Yeah, so the tentacles are sort of quite big, basically.
Brilliant. And whereabouts is that in the borough of Kensington and Chelsea?
They're setting it up around Latimer Road. It's so cool, though, the idea of like an art trail and it being outside and stuff. I always like the relationship between pigeons and public art, the fact that it's like the best like pooping ground. There's something so amazing for that in terms of like how it exists within the world. Yeah, I'm really excited to be part of the show, and you know, I think it's just such a cool initiative they've got.
It's amazing, isn't it? And it's I've said this to most of the artists that I've spoken to, having artwork free for the public to walk around and see on an art trail. Absolutely beautiful, about as inclusive as you can get, isn't it?
and it feels like it's something that is just so weird that, like, there's, you know, in some ways you feel like, thank God these guys are doing it because they're so amazing.
Yeah.
It feels like all the playgrounds could be these amazing places designed to be really special. You know,
agreed.
I wish, like, all playground manufacturers would team up with art schools and get all the, or whatever, or just, you know, different, even children could create these incredible artworks to make these spaces so special and communal.
And when you bring artwork out of a white-walled gallery and put it in a different environment, it has a whole new language, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's so cool. And I've got kids, and it's always amazing when you're walking around to see how they relate to stuff. And the idea that, you know, stuff is out on the street as well is so cool, because then they can sort of climb and interact. So yeah, it's really I think it's the best place for anything to be. It's so cool.
I totally agree. Well, Charlotte, how can anyone see your work, be it on social media or website?
I'm on Instagram called Bear Charlotte is the Instagram. And then the film She Will, and it's coming out soon.
Brilliant. I'll cut that there, Charlotte, because this is the craziest way I've ever done a podcast, but it's working perfectly.
Oh my God, Gary, you're a legend. You managed to sort of manufacture this crazy wires and stuff.
Brilliant. But Charlotte, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for your patience.
Thank you so much. And thank you for your patience. Oh my God, I feel like amazing.
And all the very best for your film that's coming out. When is it coming out?
Of July, sorry.
Excellent. No, you're quite right. Hope you have a beautiful rest of the day, and I hope to bump into you in real life one day.
Yes, please. I would love that.
See you later.
See you. Bye-bye.
Brilliant.
Hello. I'm Vasalia Chilton, the director of Kensington Chelsea Art Week and Art Trail. The artist you've just been listening to is part of the Kensington Chelsea Art Week and Art Trail. The Art Trail starts on the 18th of June and ends on the 31st of August. You can find all the details on our website, kcaw.co.uk. Thank you so much for listening.
Well, hope you enjoyed that episode of the Ministry of Arts podcast. So we wasn't dictated to by advertisers, we decided from the offset to go ad-free, which means obviously we had to self-fund. So we set up the Ministry of Arts Patreon page. And without that support, we would not be able to produce this podcast. So if you like what you hear and you're able to support the podcast, just go over to the Ministry of Arts Instagram profile. You'll find a Linktree drop-down box, which will direct you straight to our Patreon page. And for the price of a cup of coffee, you can help keep us growing week by week. But if you're not able to do that, that's fine, because this content is free for everyone. But leaving a review on whichever platform you listen to your podcast, that really does help us get noticed and anyone else looking for an art podcast. Or even giving us a positive shout out on your social media. Everything is appreciated. But either way, thanks for listening. And until next week, ta-da.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.